Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon podcast. All right, so let's be honest. If you're like me, your guilty pleasure is watching what's going on with the royals. And I don't know why. I'm like, is it because in America, we look at this and we're like, see, that royal family's not so great. It's still not working out for you. Or is it because growing up, I grew up in the era where William was like this super hot guy. And I'm like, maybe this is my Cinderella story. Maybe he'll choose me. Now, of course, Meghan Markle has destroyed that for all American women. We'll never be chosen by any prince again in our lives. So I don't know. I think it's one of those things. But regardless of what it is, we're all going, where's Kate Middleton? What happened to her? And part of me is sort of like, I mean, maybe I dodged that bullet with William because maybe she's not around. I don't know. But we're all very curious what happened to Kate. So we decided, okay, we have to get the best person to talk about this. Someone who has actually been reporting on the royal family and knows what she's doing. So we are bringing in Ellie Hall. She is a DC-based freelance reporter who was BuzzFeed News's former royal reporter. And she knows all of the inner workings of the royal family and the PR machine behind them. Ellie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. So we're watching this from the outside. We thought there was going to be this big update for some reason. We've watched Kate went into the hospital. She had some surgery that she had to stay there for 2 weeks. I think from my perspective, I was a cancer patient, so I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital and had a double mastectomy, and it was like 2 days in the hospital. Well, I don't think it was a full 2 days in the hospital. So we're all curious, first of all, what kind of surgery causes you to be in there for 2 weeks? And then we don't see her. There's the Photoshop disaster. What is going on? We need all the buzz.
Well, what I will say is that at the heart of this, it's not so much about a princess and a health crisis as it is about horrible public relations management. I do not think that if Kensington Palace, and just so your listeners understand, Kensington Palace is William and Kate's press team. Buckingham Palace is the king and queen's. You might think that the royal family has a centralized press operation. They do not. It's very tribal.
Interesting.
Yeah. And if Harry and Meghan are to be believed, but this is also something that we knew happened back in the days of Diana and Charles. So it's not too much of a stretch to imagine it still happens. Members of different press teams will feed stories about the royals that they don't work for to the press in order to get better press for their royals. So there's a lot of alleged backstabbing that goes on in this environment. But anyway, as I was saying, Kensington Palace handled this in a very strange way from the very beginning. I think that if they had perhaps followed the lead of Buckingham Palace, because it's been quite interesting. There have been two different members of the royal family having medical issues at the same time.
Right.
So the king went into hospital a few days after Kate to get his prostate checked out. He left, and then we heard that he had been diagnosed with cancer. We don't know what kind of cancer, but he's been diagnosed with cancer, and he's receiving treatment. We saw him not only be seen in public leaving the hospital, but he's posted two personalized messages thanking the public for their support. There's been a video of him reading Get Well Soon cards that members of the public have sent. There's a reason why we're not seeing any sort of conspiracy theory around the king and what's going on with his health. And it's because Buckingham Palace was very, very active in their public relations. So, I don't think we would have gotten here if this had been handled differently from the beginning. And as we all saw, as everything, each step unfolds before us, that if different decisions had been made, this situation we have with all this online craziness and conspiracy theories, it wouldn't have reached the fever pitch level that we're at now.
I mean, I think that we are used to everybody watching the royal family very closely, and we remember them all. I mean, even Diana going into the hospital to give birth, coming out, we see the baby, we see them leaving the hospital. I think that really is what it is. It's, first of all, like I said, why such a long stay? I think everybody went, oh my goodness, what's wrong with her? And not from the standpoint of, well, we just want to have a good gossip time about the royal family. It's like, people really genuinely love the royal family. So, and I think people have a special love for Kate, like they did for Diana. And so it's a question of, well, why don't we know? And I think our generation is a little bit more aware because of what happened with Diana. And then the family saying, you know, we want the paparazzi away from us. We can't stand all of this press. We understand a certain amount of secrecy, but you are not a private family. And the fact is that if I were in the UK, I would say, hey, we actually pay taxes. And we want to know what's going on with the people that we're supporting.
Yeah, I saw a very funny tweet. A British person said that they would like to get a refund for all of their tax money that was spent on the palace PR team, because obviously it wasn't being put to good use.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I agree that Kate has a special place in everybody's hearts because she hasn't done really anything wrong. She's very obviously tried to make her life, adjust her life and not have another Princess Diana situation. And I think it's really important that you mentioned Princess Diana, because I think the cultural memory that we all have of her and the questions that many people still have about the circumstances of her death, the feelings that people have about the paparazzi and the press, and the feelings people have about how she wasn't as supported by the royal family as she could have been. I think people are remembering all of that when they're looking at Kate and they're seeing how long she was in the hospital, and they're seeing that we haven't received it, you know, up until a certain point, we haven't received any personalized statements from her. Kate is the first woman since Diana to hold the title Princess of Wales. So I think it makes sense that people are, if there's a situation where we could be worried about her, people are going to be thinking about Diana and wanting to make sure that we're not seeing this sort of thing again. So, yeah.
I mean, wouldn't their children be, well, their oldest is probably around the same age Harry was when they lost Diana.
A little bit younger. George will be 11 this year.
Okay.
But that's only 3 or 4 years younger than Harry was. So yeah, we're getting up there in age. And that's another key point. I've even seen people online who don't like Kate, who say maybe are bigger Harry and Meghan supporters. But I've seen people say that it doesn't matter how you feel about Kate. Like, she's a mother and she's a good mother. We've seen this. And, you know, she fell in love with a man. She didn't, you know, she signed up for this public life because she fell in love with a man, and that we need to remember that. And you're correct. The length of time in the hospital really has been, well, it was one of the first things that really made people start wondering what was going on here. And it's just sort of snowballed from there, because for such a long time, we didn't have any information. We didn't have, for lack of a better word, any proof of life. And really, once those things did start going, once we did start seeing paparazzi photos, or, you know, the photo of William and Kate in the car, and then the whole disaster with the Mother's Day, the British Mother's Day photo, you know, every step that was taken that could have solved this, that could have shut these conspiracy theories down, made everything worse.
But William has been out and reporters have yelled things to him. He won't say anything. So you brought up she fell in love with a man. And she is the Princess of Wales. However, There are stories now circulating that that man fell in love with someone else. So what is going on with that story?
All right. So, I actually have a story coming out today about this. But back in 2019, the British press started publishing some stories about how Kate had had a mysterious falling out with one of her friends who was Kate and William's neighbor. They have a country house out in Norfolk in the UK. And all the story said was that there had been a friendship breakup, and Kate wanted this woman, whose name is Lady Sarah Rose, the Marchioness of Cholmondeley. Her maiden name is Hanbury, so you'll see her referred to in the press as Rose Hanbury. Kate wanted her out of the social circle. And the interesting thing was, after a few of these stories had been published, the royal family came down pretty hard. They apparently were trying to decide whether to threaten legal action against the news outlets that had reported this friendship breakup. And this was all revealed in a Daily Mail column by a guy named Richard Kay, who's very well sourced in the palace. So obviously the palace went to him and said, we want you to write this up. Why such a big reaction to a story about a friendship breakup? So the press was hinting at something. Libel laws are very different in the UK. There are arguments about how much free speech do people actually have there, because it's a very, very different ballgame in terms of what you can say and if you will be sued for saying something. So what happened from there was people online began to guess that perhaps this was coded language in the tabloids that William had had an affair with Rose. And then In Touch Weekly, an American outlet, had this huge magazine cover story, and that this is the first week of April 2019, I want to say, saying that there had been an affair, that William had cheated on Kate with Rose Hanbury, and Kate was devastated. And that was sort of the tipping point, because nobody in the UK press could report on it up until now. But now that someone in America had sort of broken the story, we saw a little bit of coverage of that. And Prince William's lawyers sent out letters to major media outlets saying, do not report on this story. This is a violation of privacy. We will go after you. So you sort of saw all of that shut down after a few months. So, and this has been one of the interesting things about this whole situation for royal watchers, because we heard of Rose Hanbury back in 2019. No one, but many people hadn't even heard those rumors. And because of all of the PR mismanagement, there was this space for all of these old skeletons in the royal family's closet to come out. So where we're at now is people are suddenly discovering that there was all this speculation about William cheating on Kate back in 2019. And there have been many conspiracy theories around Rose. And it's very interesting because she up until now has never commented on it. But last week, her lawyers, Business Insider got the scoop. Her lawyer said the rumors of an affair are all nonsense. So we've reached a point now where she feels she has to comment on it. And so it's a little crazy.
So let me try to pick this apart a little bit, because we've seen the rumors, obviously, and we see the pictures of George on the balcony with Rose's sons during the coronation of King Charles. And everybody's like, why would they have been there? Why did they get these fantastic seats where they're on the balcony and the other kids aren't even there? Why? So why is that?
Well, so let me see. Rose is married to David Rocksavage, the Marquess of Cholmondeley, and he had a important role in Queen Elizabeth's reign, and he's was given, I can't remember his exact title, but he was given a pretty cushy job to the king, like a personal advisor. So it sort of made sense that one of his sons was a page of honor. They went looking for children who were around Prince George's age, because George was one too, who could really just carry the robes during the coronation ceremony. So It made sense. This family that's been associated with the royals for a long time, the title Cholmondeley, there have been Cholmondeleys forever, dating back hundreds of years, and they've always been close to the crown, all of that. But that was something that people noticed, that, you know, this family was close enough to the royals that their son was given an important job in the coronation. And there has been, you know, the outfit that Rose wore to the coronation was written up, and it was pointed out that, like, she wore the same shoes that Kate had worn the day before. So if you look at the British press, they don't say things, but depending on what they cover, you can sort of see what they're hinting at. And these past few weeks, after the Mother's Day photo came out, which I'm sure we'll get to, but there is a whole controversy about that and how it was edited.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We started seeing some UK outlets on Twitter X post, like, who is Rose Hanbury, an explainer to the Marchioness of Cholmondeley? And many people commented, and I think this is a valid theory, that this was sort of a shot across the bow at the royal family. You know, why did they put an explainer up on Rose Hanbury? Well, you know, maybe we'll report some more things on her. We're just showing you that we can start writing about this if we want to. So I don't know how accurate that is.
If you're not going to talk to us, we'll put our own stuff out.
That is, the relationship between the British press and the British monarchy is fascinating. It's one of the things that I enjoy covering almost more than the royal family itself, because it's such an interesting relationship. And if you watch stories that are published, if you watch people who get scoops, you really can sort of see the strategy at work there.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
We are used to people being able to say anything about anyone, and this is, it's kind of like a poetry of nuance over in the UK, so you have to read between the lines. So let's get to that picture, because that was really when the firestorm started. She's gone. We're okay with the fact that she's gone, I think, at this point, because we've been told she had the surgery. She's a mom. We're like, we're going to let her heal. We're not going to say anything about where she is. And then this picture comes out and there's drama. I mean, and then the American press the next morning is like, oh my goodness, you know, we had to take this picture down because Kate Middleton somehow altered this picture. And I think all of us were like, oh my gosh, her head is on someone else's body. Like, it's got to be something extreme. But then I pull it up and I'm like, wait a minute. It's like it's the little girl's wrist. It's the little boy's sweater. Why was it such a big deal that she did this to this photo?
Well, so this is a very important thing about the royal family, how it operates now. And it goes back to Princess Diana. So I'm sure you remember seeing, you know, the footage of Charles and Diana on their trip to Australia and little William on the blanket walking in front of the cameras, or, you know, William in the garden at Kensington Palace going up to the cameraman. The way it used to be was press photographers and videographers would have a photo call with the royal family and their children. They'd come in, they'd take some photos, they'd get out, and those photos would be used by the world to, you know, just, here's what the royal family is up to, here's what the royal kids are up to. When George was born, William and Kate's eldest child, William made the decision that he wasn't going to play that game with his kids. What they were going to do instead was they would take photos and they would give them to the press to run so that, you know, and most of the time, Kate took those photos. We've seen that, of the past 11 years, she's an amateur photographer. She takes photos of her kids. And the fact that these handout photos are being given to the press means that these are news photos. These are not family photos. These are images that are part of the historical record and are going to be shared with the world. And they should be the same quality and at the same standard as photos that a member of the press would come in and take. So we haven't had any controversies like this up until now. But if you follow the royal family, there are definitely times where the images have been edited, but nobody really looked at it that closely before. And I think that's what's interesting about this, because you can't imagine a worse time to have manipulated an image. The whole world wants to see a photo of Kate. Everyone is going to look very closely at this picture because there have been so many rumors about her. There probably has never been a time in the royal family's history where there was so much riding on a single image, and that image was edited. When there are conspiracy theories circulating, the absolute last thing you want to do is give the conspiracy theorist something they can point to and say, see, I told you it was a cover-up. And that is exactly what this photo did. So in terms of why the media agencies started issuing kill notices, and this wasn't just like one news agency. These were all the major news agencies in the world. You had Associated Press, AFP, Getty, Reuters. But a key thing here is they didn't start killing that photo until they went to Kensington Palace and said, hey, we see there are edits here on this photo. We can't run this because, you know, we're supposed to report the news. We're supposed to give our readers around the world true images. Because all of these agencies have very, very strict rules about what you can edit or not. A little bit of cropping, that's okay. Filters, absolutely not. So Kensington Palace, though, didn't give them the original image. And then that's something that they were begging for because they don't want it. This looks bad for everybody.
They could have okay, well, here's the real image. We wanted to cut out someone's stray hair. No.
Yes. So what I've heard that there have been lots of different signs of editing in there. Some people have said there are signs that, you know, around Kate's chest area, there was some copying and pasting. but this image could have been a composite of five different pictures or six different pictures. So maybe somebody's eyes were closed in one and they just sort of took the best version of all the photos. That I've seen some professional photographers say that they think that's what might have been done. But you think if it was five images put together, why not just give the press an image where Charlotte's looking away or Charlotte's got her eyes closed, just to show that there's no cover up here. There's been no huge editing. Kensington Palace wouldn't do that. And that was done before these kill orders went out. So this wasn't just a reaction. This was something they didn't want to do this. The agencies wanted the real photo and Kensington Palace wouldn't give it to them. And they still haven't given it to them. So that's something that isn't great. And it's something I think we're going to see the repercussions of this through the next few months, maybe years, because this was a violation of the trust in the eyes of the press that they've had with the royal family. For all these years, they've been trusting the royal family with these handout photos. Are they going to?
So yeah. Is this why we're seeing that these organizations are saying that they feel as though that they are not, Kensington Palace is no longer a trustworthy source of information?
Yeah, I think it was one of the directors of the AFP said, you know, when it comes to edited photos, we're used to this sort of thing in North Korea. We're not used to this coming from the British royal family. I mean, why would you doctor photos, particularly of something as innocent as a mother with her three kids? So
I think that's from our perspective. Everybody was like, okay, but what's the big deal? So this is kind of the backstory. Now we get it. They won't provide the real picture. Still calls into question what's going on with Kate. I know that we've seen them in the car. We've seen the picture or the video of them walking. It's grainy. There's been people that have said that this is a body double. I'm not going there, but I do think that it is really fishy that she had this surgery and we haven't seen her. And like I said, it's not even her. It's that William won't come out and say anything. He is her husband. And you sort of expect in certain situations for the husband, as the spouse and the person who cares for the other person, to come out and be in that protective mode of, hey, you know what? Give us some time. Kate's doing well. We thank you for the well wishes. I mean, even like you pointed out, King Charles saying, hey, thanks for the well wishes. Here I am reading these. But there's nothing.
No, there's... The only thing we've gotten from William is in a few speeches, he's mentioned, you know, how grateful he is for the people who've sent good thoughts towards his father and his wife. He visited a synagogue and said that he and his wife were really worried about the rise in anti-Semitism, but we haven't gotten him addressing his wife's health at all.
And I think that makes us kind of mad, because those of us who grew up with them growing up at the same time and watched him and thought he was like this great guy and saw this love story and think of him as like this phenomenal husband to Kate, and they have this great fairy tale love story. This is a moment where you go, well, wait a minute, come out and say something. And it's not because we want to know, but because you're making her look like an idiot.
Yeah, or you're making it looks secretive. And this is, people have asked me, or Ellie, what's your big theory about what's going on? And my theory is that it has been William particularly, but maybe William and Kate, who have been running this thing. I mean, a public relations team is only as good as the level in which you listen to them is. If you don't listen to a PR team, they're not going to help you. I think that Kate and William have really, really wanted this to be private. Absolutely nothing to do with the public. In the first statement that came out announcing Kate was in the hospital, it said she wants her personal medical information to remain private. And I think that they have been driving the strategy, thinking only from the perspective of this is private medical business. And they've sort of lost the bigger picture that they are members of the royal family. And if you create this information void, people are going to rush to fill it, because that's what humans do. We want to explain things. We want to understand things.
Well, and you, at the same time, you have this whole Netflix documentary. You have Harry and Meghan in the United States, like totally belligerent, coming out and telling all of their stories about the royal family. And I think it's so crazy, because I feel like the majority of the world, I mean, we've all watched this. And even if you say, I don't care, you've watched it. You've sort of cared. So don't lie about that. And as we've watched it, we've been really Team William, because we're like, what kind of horrible person leaves their family and then tells all their secrets, you know? And now having William be this guy who's like this uptight jerk that won't come out and talk to anybody and say anything. But you are the future king. People, you are the man who is supposed to be the man of the people. Like, people want to look to you as the king of their nation. And whether that, you know, whether that is a, I guess, an honorary title or you really have true power, I mean, that's still your position. And the fact that he acts like he should live a private life, well, if that's the case, then maybe you should run off to America and become a belligerent royal as well, because we expect more from you.
Well, that's the thing. And what we're beginning to see here is sort of a in the press, at least, is a resurrection of some of the old complaints that have been raised against William. For a while there in the press, he had the nickname Work Shy Wills, because at the end of the year, the royal family releases a list of how many engagements each member does. And it was shameful, I think. You would see back even when Prince Philip was still doing engagements, he would do double the amount that William and Kate did. The Queen would do something like triple. And people are sort of beginning to think, okay, you know, you're not telling us anything about your wife, and you just said that you're going to take, you know, a 3-week vacation. What's going on here? If you're not working and you're not telling us anything, what's going on here? What's the use of you? Like, you are going to be a king for far longer than your father is going to be a king. Don't you sort of feel like you shouldn't be stepping it up here? And shouldn't you be trying to find a way that you're comfortable with and your wife is comfortable with to reassure people? Because that's a key thing here. A lot of people are genuinely worried about Kate. Now, they may have different theories about what's going on with Kate, but they are really worried because The questions you have to ask are, why not release the original photo? Things like that. There are so many small things that, to outsiders at least, seem like not a big deal, a very easy fix. And those things haven't been done. And people just have a lot of questions.
And ironically, the thing that we grew up with the royal family when I was growing up, obviously, Diana was out there a lot. And she was doing all, and that was, I think, why people loved her. Here she was giving her time to go travel to see orphans, to take care of children. And she was so hands-on and so available. I think just the availability of Diana made people feel like they were close to the royal family in a way Charles was never going to be able to accomplish. And the personality conflict there obviously was very large, but it made the royal family touchable, lovable. You know, it made the royal family different. And the ironic thing about this is that Harry got that. That's Harry. And I think that when Harry and William were so close, people still felt like we have this connection to the royal family. And Harry provided all of the things that Diana provided that William couldn't be. And now that there's this rift and there's no more Harry, let's face it, he's not a part of the royal family anymore. What do we have left? We are looking to Kate to pull us all together. Now Kate's missing. I mean, it really is bizarre because then that leaves no one.
No. And this is the thing. So before Harry and Meghan left, there was a lot of talk in the now king, back then Prince Charles, purposely fed this out to the press that he wanted to support a slimmed down monarchy. That's the exact phrase they used, because it would save taxpayer pounds, and, you know, it would just make everything work a little easier if there were fewer members who were being supported by the public. And what we're seeing now is the problem with that. If you have two people out of commission, there's a limit to how much you can do. And what's more, Kate is without a doubt the most popular member of the royal family. And she's also the one that sells papers. I mean, people love her. Everyone wants to see what she's up to. I just talking about this with a friend, but there are probably about 10 blogs that are devoted only to what she wears. So if you ever see Kate wearing something and you're like, I want that, believe me, there's a blog. They've already figured out what that item is and they're linking to it so you can purchase it.
And people, they think I'm that person because I literally get that on Facebook every day. Like, do you want Kate Middleton's wedges? These are them. And I'm like, I don't know. Do I need to have her wedges? But I can completely see that she is well loved. And that is really, that has been the connection. And we don't know. I mean, I guess everybody can say, okay, well, she's fine. But are we going to see her at Easter? Do we expect her to come out?
So this is interesting. The Sunday Times over the weekend, the Sunday Times, who their royal reporter is very well sourced. But this story said that Kate might not be seen during the royal family's traditional walk to church on Easter because that would be during her children's school holidays. And they don't work during their children's school holidays. So we might be seeing even later, like the Easter doesn't mean the religious holiday, but Easter means the end of the Easter holidays. And William would also be taking that time off, which isn't great. But the story also said that Kate was going to be getting back into more of her charity work with her patronages. Her big cause is early childhood, early years mental health, early years support to sort of help set children up for success. And hopefully, if she starts doing that, we'll be able to get some positive press. But where we're at right now is there haven't been any real concrete signs of when she'll be back. And people really want that, because I don't think this is going to die down until she is back out doing her job, shaking hands, seeing people, waving to the cameras, because there have been so many unexplainable weird things that have happened. And in that, I include, you know, the TMZ photo of her and her mother, and the video that came out over the weekend of her and William at the farmer's market. Just all these little things. And
do you believe that video is real?
Here's what I think about the video. We saw when the first paparazzi photo came out that the palace leaned heavily on the British press not to publish it. So this went up in America. No one in the UK published that photo. They all wrote stories that the photo had been taken, but they didn't show the photo because the palace said it would be a violation of Kate's privacy to print this image. Then, fast forward to this past weekend, we have this video that comes out of her and her husband walking out of a farmer's market near their home, and the palace doesn't say anything. And the reporter who broke this story has said on Twitter X that they went to the palace for confirmation that this was actually them. They went to the palace for comment, and the palace didn't block it. I think if it wasn't William and Kate in that video, they would have blocked it. This was, in my opinion, as someone who's covered the royal family for 11 years now and has had many interactions with the press office, I believe that the reason for the video's publication was so that the royal family's press team could remain in a position of power and not look like they had given in to this public demand for more images of Kate, videos of Kate. This sort of got their job done for them. If they let this video,
As a person who has watched Star Wars, I, of course, immediately assumed it was a decoy. I'm like, Queen Amidala has one, so it must be that Kate has one as well.
Well, a lot of people have said that. And there's been a lot of people even comparing videos of Kate walking to the video of Kate walking over the weekend and attempts to zoom in. And I do think that a point that is important is, like, I don't know about you, but my iPhone can take better videos than that. That was a very grainy video. I saw someone online say it looked like, you know, those old Razer flip phones that everyone used to have that did such grainy video you couldn't zoom in.
Yes, it was conveniently horrible.
Yeah, it was conveniently horrible. And even from the conveniently horrible stance, didn't look like the Kate we're used to, but it does make sense. She was obviously has lost weight, but that makes sense. If you've had surgery, you're not feeling that great. You're probably not eating that much.
She cannot lose weight. This is the smallest person on the planet. So I think that's the other thing. We're all like, well, wait a minute. This is someone who already, you know, it's funny because when you have a surgery like that, I mean, I think most people think, gosh, this must be cancer. This must be something terrible, you know, and anytime you have a surgery like that, you do have a recovery period. And we look at Kate and we go, gosh, she doesn't really have a lot of to spare. So if she has to recover, she doesn't have a lot of reserves there because she's just naturally a very thin person. And so I think that's another concern. And when we see that video, we're like, I think the person even looked shorter than her, but I don't know. It just seemed very, very weird. And I think them not saying anything like, oh, well, it's great that they got to go to the farmer's market together. You know, why not say anything? It's just so bizarre.
It doesn't make sense. And this is the whole, I'm sure you've heard this before. The royal family's unofficial motto when it comes to the press is never complain, never explain. So never complain about bad coverage. And if there are these mysteries, don't ever explain it, because it sort of takes away from, you know, this idea of the royal family as being above everything. What I really think we're seeing here is never complain, never explain only works up to a point in a digital world. It reaches a point where you're just going to lose control of the narrative because social media is driving it. And that's been fascinating for me because social media has been driving all of this. Social media has forced the palace to respond to what is essentially gossip. And that's something that they have never done before.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extra-help.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
So,
you know what? The paparazzi was bad, but now everyone has a cell phone. Everybody is an amateur reporter, journalist, an ambush journalist. I mean, everybody out there can be taking video. And it just seems weird that one person got a shot really far away. I don't know. It just doesn't add up. But we are all watching from the sidelines. We want to find out what the truth is. I think everybody is going to be interested until we see Kate actually come out and talk to cameras. And I will say one more time, very, very weird that William will not respond.
Yeah. And that you can even see videos of him from the past few weeks of people asking him questions. And as he goes into an event or something, and he's not responding. And this is, his personality is very, very stubborn. And I feel where we're at now is he just doesn't want to do absolutely anything to do with this. He doesn't want it to be seen like the press is driving him or social media is driving him. I really recommend the Daily Beast's reporter, Tom Sykes, is very well sourced within William's circle. And the stories he's been publishing have been really interesting because it's all friends of William and Kate, and their attitude as reflected in these pieces is
interesting.
It is like, no, like they don't care about this. Social media is stupid. It's so toxic. We're going to not respond to it. We're just going to try to ignore it. And as you know, we've established here, you can only ignore it up to a point. When it starts driving the narrative, you really need to step in and get control, or else it's going to get completely out of hand.
And I mean, really, outside of their reputation, what are they if they don't have a reputation of loving the people and being, like I said, being the royalty of the people? And the fact that he is being like this, I think, is really hurting him. I think it will hurt him for years to come. As you said, this could go on for months. I really think that this is forming an opinion of him, just like when Harry did what he did. I mean, once you turn on a public figure like this, it's really hard to get the love back. So if William doesn't come out soon, I think this could do long-term damage to his reputation.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to do a big gesture, I think. And that was something that the Sunday Times story I referenced earlier made clear, too, that he and Kate are reportedly in discussions about how she can talk about this once she's back, doing her work. And she's the authority on herself. So she'll be able to calm this down by talking about herself. But I really think, I agree, William needs to be part of that. Whatever she does, he needs to be part of that, because if he does a good job explaining, we all can understand, especially given what happened to Diana, his desire to protect his wife from all of this. But it does reach a level. And I'll say, when we've gotten to the point where people online really believe, like one of the theories that's been circulating is that, you know, Kate might be a domestic abuse victim. When you've reached the level where people expect, where you are speculating about that, that's a very good sign that you need to do something. Because that's a conspiracy theory that's been around for a while now. And, you know, as I said,
it is like, why can't she show her face? What is hiding? And that goes to the Photoshop stuff. And I mean, not to spread that rumor, but I mean, as a woman, you really do go, what is it that powerful people can hide stuff? I think I'll just say this last thing. I think it's so funny that I see all these people that are like, oh my gosh, you know,
Charles has cancer and he's treating with herbs, and like the royal princess is missing, and it's there's a rumor that the royal prince is having an affair. At this point, France would be invading, and I'm like, I don't know. This sounds pretty much like the royal family all throughout history. Like, why is that any different?
Yeah, we're not used to it. I mean, I think, you know, if we go back 100 years or 300 years, everyone went back then and be, oh, yeah, it's business as usual. But we're not used to it. And it partly is because William and Kate in particular have done a very good job interacting with the public, getting out there, being seen, supporting their causes. And where we're at now is not great. And they really will need to come back and hit the ground running to start reestablishing that level of trust and affection with the public.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when they finally come back, we'd love to have you back on to talk about it. Ellie Hall, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you all for joining us on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, check out TudorDixonPodcast.com and subscribe, or go to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Have a blessed day.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.